Blessed be the one holy and living God. Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. God, our rock and refuge, keep us safe in your care and strengthen us with your grace, that we may pray to you faithfully and love one another boldly, following the example of Jesus, who with you and the Holy Spirit lives forever and ever. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Habakkuk. The oracle that the prophet Habakkuk saw. O Lord, how long shall I cry for help and you will not listen? Or cry to you, violence, and you will not save? Why do you make me see wrongdoing and look at trouble? Destruction and violence are before me. Strife and contention arise. So the law becomes slack and justice never prevails. The wicked surround the righteous. Therefore, judgment comes forth perverted. I will stand at my watchpost and station myself on the rampart. I will keep watch to see what he will say to me and what he will answer concerning my complaint. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision, make it plain on tablets, so that a runner may read it. For there is still a vision for the appointed time. It speaks of the end and does not lie. If it seems to tarry, wait for it. It will surely come. It will not delay. Look at the proud. Their spirit is not right in them, but the righteous live by their faith. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
A reading from Paul's second letter to the Thessalonians. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy. To the Church of the Thessalonians in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as it is right, because your faith is growing abundantly, and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call, and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you, and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd, he could not because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay him back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Christ.
May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Be seated. Good morning to all of you here, to you online. It's good to see you all. The story of Zacchaeus is such a delightful story. Part of its delight comes from its simplicity. It is a story of a wealthy man, a tax collector, who is short in stature. In childlike fashion, he runs ahead, climbs a tree, hurries down when beckoned by name, joyfully stands before the one who calls him, and eagerly brings that man home. This story is so simple, someone made a children's song about it. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in a sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. And when the Savior passed that way, he looked up in the tree and said, "Zacchaeus, you come down, for I'm coming to your house today. For I'm coming to your house today." Okay, now while I get great joy out of singing a children's song for my sermon today, and I love the simplicity and the fact that, well, Zacchaeus is a man short in stature, I can relate. I think we err when we keep it there and don't go deeper and figure out what this story might be trying to say to us. As Pamela noted a few weeks ago, we are nearing the end of Luke's travel narrative. Only one parable follows this story before Jesus' triumphant entry into Jerusalem. Scripturally, this story comes several verses after the lectionary reading from last week about the Pharisee and the tax collector. Jesus is a good teacher. He shares a story, a parable, sometimes more than once to make his point, and then applies that lesson during their journey together. In the verses between this parable, or the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector, and our story today, Jesus welcomes children, argues with a ruler who refuses to give up his wealth, tells of his death and resurrection for the third time, and heals a blind man. That's a lot to happen in 20 verses. But the stakes are high at this point. Jesus had little time left to teach what is important. So here we stand at the sycamore tree. The stakes are high. Jesus has something important to teach them and us. This is so much more than a simple story. In many ways, this is a culminating example of the parable we heard last week and the teaching moments since he shared it. Zacchaeus, another outsider, just like the children and the blind man, seeks Jesus. Except this time, his status of an outsider is determined by his occupation, rather than circumstances outside of his control. The crowd marks him as a sinner. Not only is Zacchaeus a tax collector, but a chief tax collector. He's made his wealth by increasing what was owed. He paid Rome what was due, and he kept the rest. The system worked well for him. He had power, and he had wealth. Certainly an unexpected person to solidify Jesus's message right now. One might ask,
Why was he so drawn to seek out Jesus? Jesus, the preacher who told those in power to sell their property and distribute the money to the poor and follow him. Yet, here is Jesus, here is Zacchaeus, up in a tree, trying to get a glimpse of Jesus. Well, where is everyone else? Well, they're there to look for Jesus, to seek out Jesus too. But something happens. In the crowd, they lose sight of Jesus. They begin to focus on who gets Jesus' attention instead of them, instead of keeping their sights on what is happening in this delightful scene. And we do this too. Last week was our yearly diocesan convention in Reading. If you haven't heard yet, it was a wonderful event focused on new creation. A resolution written by our very own Reverend Dr. Pamela and others was passed. That resolution committed that churches in our diocese would become carbon neutral by 2030. We had many learning sessions about gardening and land use, youth, intercultural ministries, and emergency relief. N.T. Wright, former Bishop of Durham, England, a renowned theologian and New Testament scholar, gave our keynote address. And that reminded us that our churches are working models and signposts of new creation, of the new creation, which started in Jesus. With all this focus on new creation and the wonderful discussions happening at convention, some still lost sight of Jesus. We received a message from Bishop Megan this week that someone overheard delegates talking in the restroom. One of the delegates said, "They should not be here if they can't speak English." Bishop Megan responded to hearing about this troubling event with a pastoral letter to the diocese that rebuked the statements made and called our attention back to Jesus and our call to enact the good news of God in Christ in every person we come near. She reiterated N.T. Wright's message that our congregations and conventions are to be working models of new creation and not repeaters of those behaviors of which we all repent. Bishop Megan's message has now been translated into at least two other languages. Do you hear the similarities between how the crowd reacted to Zacchaeus receiving Jesus' love and the statements made by delegates at our convention? Even while following Jesus and gathering to do good work, we sometimes get caught up in deciding who belongs and who doesn't. This is a scarcity mindset. When we get into the weeds of deciding who belongs and who doesn't, there is a fear that there isn't enough room for all of us. In the new creation, however, there is room. There is always room. Jesus' message is clear. In God's kingdom, everyone belongs. When we lose sight of Jesus, we start focusing on the wrong things. We start to fear that there isn't enough. And Zacchaeus' story helps us here. When the crowd begins to grumble about Jesus being the guest of a sinner, Zacchaeus tells Jesus that he gives half of his possessions to the poor and that he repays four times what he has defrauded. I don't know if you noticed, but I changed the verb tense when I said that. In the translation we use in our readings, the NRSV, that says that Zacchaeus will do these things in the future. It's a pledge to Jesus. However, many scholars disagree with this translation. They argue when the verb is correctly translated, Zacchaeus said he is already doing these things. Why does this matter? Well, if Jesus's interaction with Zacchaeus was a culminating example of Jesus's recent teachings, then Zacchaeus is the exemplar. He has already turned toward Jesus. This moment is not the conversion. That has already happened. Zacchaeus has already realized that there is abundance in Jesus. He no longer needs to focus on his earthly wealth and power. Our stewardship inserts this season have focused on this kind of abundance. When we seek Jesus, we know there is enough to share, enough wealth, and enough room. Can we look to Zacchaeus as an example of what happens when we live in the model of abundance? N.T. Wright challenges our churches to be working models of new creation, and we can join in that by sharing our time, talent, and treasures to supporting this mission. We must constantly be reorienting ourselves to seek Jesus. He's always there. We just lose sight sometimes. We are in the crowd. We are the crowd. But we can be Zacchaeus. Jesus says to Zacchaeus, "Today salvation has come to this house because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and save the lost." I think we have something here. This story is bigger than Zacchaeus. I don't think Jesus invited himself to stay only at Zacchaeus's home that day. I believe Jesus is inviting himself to dwell within all of us who seek him. For we are all descendants of Abraham. Lord, I pray that I will always seek you. I will run ahead like Zacchaeus, and out of the darkness of being in a sea of people, I will climb out into the light where I can see. From the tree, I will seek the one who gives me the living water. Jesus sees me, notices me, calls me by name. In him, I do not need wealth. I do not need the approval of the crowds around me. I need only him, and he has invited himself to stay with me. I am found. Amen.
Please stand as you are able and join me as we affirm our faith using the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. The third day he rose again, in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Catholic and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. recognizing that our gifts are miracles that enable our ministry, serve our neighbors, and strengthen our community, we gather to offer our intentions, petitions, and thanksgivings to God.
I ask your prayers for the church, the inspiration and inheritance of our gifts of wealth, works, and wisdom. Pray for Michael, our presiding bishop, Megan, our bishop, Pamela, our rector, and Margaret, our deacon, Betsy, our seminarian, Ernie and Deborah, our priest associates, and all other ministers in the church. Thanks to God's great abundance.
There can always be more than enough.
We ask your prayers for the world, God's greatest miracle. May we who inherit this earth be wise stewards of creation and kind caretakers of all your creatures. We ask your prayers for those who lead our nation and our communities. For Joseph, our president, for Gavin, our governor, for our legislative and judicial institutions, and for the representatives of our local government. May they use the plentiful resources they steward to care for the people of the world. Thanks to God's great abundance.
There can always be more than enough.
We ask your prayers for our neighbors, and all who need or request our prayers, for those who are marginalized and oppressed, those who are sick and those who are dying, for the lonely and isolated, for those who are suffering, and for those who sleep on our streets. We pray for all on our parish prayer list.
We pray for all those affected by natural disasters. We pray for the victims of the crowd surge that happened in Seoul, Korea. We pray for peace in Ukraine and other areas experiencing conflict. And we pray for Ethan, Josh, Mary, Marilyn Kay, Sue, and Lynn. And I invite you to add your own petitions, either silently or aloud at this time.
For the victims of gun violence in St. Louis.
Thanks to God's great abundance.
There can always be more than enough.
I ask your prayers for those who have died. May they forever gather at your table of plenty, sharing their gifts with love and joy.
Pray especially for the repose of the souls of the Right Reverend George Hunt and the Reverend Jerry Porter, for their families and friends who mourn.
Thanks to God's great abundance.
There can always be more than enough.
As the crowd who gathered to hear Jesus preach was able to share 2 fish and 5 loaves with more than enough left over, they discovered that when their gifts were blessed, they increased and became a blessing to others. We give you thanks for the uncountable miracles and blessings in our lives. Thanks to God's great abundance.
There can always be more than enough.
Holy God, your love knows no bounds, and you did not hesitate to give your whole self to us in the person of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ. May we too reach within ourselves to share our gifts generously so that our love overflows in a need-filled world. These and all things we ask in the name of your Son and through the power of your Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
God of all mercy, we confess that we have sinned against you, opposing your will in our lives. We have denied your goodness in each other, in ourselves, and in the world you have created. We repent of the evil that enslaves us, the evil we have done, and the evil done on our behalf. Forgive, restore, and strengthen us through our Savior Jesus Christ, that we may abide in your love and serve only your will. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
Please rise as you are able. The peace of Christ be always with you. Please be seated for the announcements. We seem to have several this morning. First, I want to gratefully introduce Chris Reynolds. If you don't know Chris, then just look for him in the choir. And he's also been on vestry for the last couple of years, and I'm grateful that he's giving our stewardship talk today.
Thank you. Good morning. As the crowd who gathered to hear Jesus preach was able to share two fish and five loaves with more than enough left over, they discovered that when their gifts were blessed, they increased and became a blessing to others. We just heard these words in the prayers of the people, but because they were also part of our service last week, and because it fell to me to read these words, they stuck with me this past few days. I had been asked to speak this morning, drawing on my years of making music as a member of our choir. The message of little becoming much, of scarcity becoming plenty, expresses a thought that regularly occurs to me singing in our choir. We singers come from very different backgrounds. We have very different abilities, but together, our talents are multiplied. Some of us have clear, light, focused voices. Some of us have voices that have, with time, become a bit wobbly. In my case, more than a bit. Some of us can sight read musical notation easily. Others depend on their ears, adroitly following along with what they hear. But when we come together and sing with Suzanne and Jeffrey, the quality of our disparate voices and skills doesn't matter. We create a new voice together. Some of us have sung primarily at home or in the car, more or less alone with whatever recording happens to be playing. Some of us have sung solos on big stages in front of large crowds. A few of us do our most uninhibited singing in the shower. But when we come together and sing with Suzanne and Jeffrey, our individual practices as performers don't matter. We become something special together. A few of us grew up singing Renaissance madrigals. Some of us grew up belting out Broadway songs like, "I'm Gonna Wash That Man Right Out of My Hair." Others grew up singing along with Bob Dylan, Carole King, or Aretha Franklin. I'm dating myself. One of us, I'm pretty sure, grew up singing "Take Me Out to the Ball Game." But when we come together and sing with Suzanne and Jeffrey, our eclectic musical preferences don't matter. We develop a new focus together. In our modest but remarkable way, we exemplify the story of the fishes and loaves every week. What is true of the choir is in one way or another true of every committee and group undertaking at St. Martin's. We can do so much more with others than we can alone. Stewardship appeals are not only appeals for money. It is easy to point out that we are blessed with great music at St. Martin's because we can afford it. And it is easy enough to imagine how our programs for the children and youths of the parish will benefit from generous pledges, and how much we in this active and complex community of ours could benefit from having an assistant rector. But stewardship also means giving of our talents and experience. It means getting involved. It means giving so that we might grow individually and together. Let me paraphrase the last words of the last song the Beatles recorded together as a way of disputing their message. And in the end, the gifts you receive are not just equal to the gifts you give, they are greater. The gifts you receive are not just equal to the gifts you give, they are greater. Which leads me back to my opening. As the crowd who gathered to hear Jesus preach was able to share 2 fish and 5 loaves with more than enough left over, they discovered that when their gifts were blessed, they increased and became a blessing to others. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Chris. I am a very accomplished and enthusiastic singer alone in the car with the windows rolled up, and I can attest that when I am near the choir and get to just gently blend my voices with them, it is a delight. So everything you said is absolutely true, Chris. Tim, is Tim here? Tim, you wanted to make a quick announcement. Can you come forward? While Tim is coming forward to the microphone, there are a couple of other things that I absolutely have to make sure I remind you about. Yes?
Which one am I talking about?
I thought you were here to talk about the half-day service project. Yeah, okay. Well, you can talk. Do you want to talk about Thanksgiving, too?
I'll do both.
Just quickly for
all right,
both
so
of us. Okay.
Today's the last day. Hopefully, we'll get some interest and more interest in the Sierra Service Project half-work day next Sunday. We're leaving a little bit early at 11 and going to Sacramento to help help build a community garden over there for a lady that has built a tiny homes community in North Sacramento. Sierra Service Project is a Methodist-based organization, and taking the youth group on weekly outings. So I hope you'll give half of your day next Sunday and join me in doing that. And then the other is I'll be out. Another opportunity is I'll be out at a table where we'll be collecting money for the Thanksgiving Project, Christine Blanchard Thanksgiving Project, to help provide a Thanksgiving meal for those less fortunate than all of us. So hopefully you'll get out your checkbook or pay or contribute online, and we'll be out there the next few Sundays. Thank you.
Wonderful. Thank you for being the face and voice for us of SJNO right now. We are so grateful for the organization that helps us to do these projects, including the Sierra Service Project next week, and we're beginning our Thanksgiving project too, so fantastic. There are a few other things. Next week in particular, we're kind of shifting our focus for a few days. We're obviously in stewardship season, and we're gearing up for Thanksgiving and beginning to think about the holidays and things like that, but next week is a very important time in the life of the church. So on November 1st, the Church Universal celebrates All Saints Day, and we are going to have a service that night here. It's Tuesday, it'll be at 7 o'clock. It will be streamed, so it's hybrid. If you can't be here physically in person, you're welcome to join us online. But that is the actual feast day, and that will be a service again here at 7 o'clock on Tuesday evening. As well, what we're doing that night is if you come in physically that night or during the week when the church is open, you can bring your items that you would like on our ofrenda. So we are celebrating Dia de los Muertos the next Sunday, November 6th. And to get that, I'm sure most of you who have been here in the past remember those beautiful altars that we create. One here in the narthex, and then we do the prayer chalkboard is set up as an ofrenda as well. So if you have a picture or an item that reminds you of your loved one who has passed, it doesn't have to be just in this last year, it can be any time, and you'd like to bring that to decorate the ofrenda, just please be sure to put your name on the back of it, because often after the day, we end up with a lot of unclaimed items in the office, and we don't want to lose anything that is precious to you. So today is the last day to send in a name for the necrology. That's when we read out the names of people who have died in the past 12 months. That's today, so send that in an email if you possibly can. Or you could call and leave a message for the office. And then next week is when we'll be collecting the items for the ofrenda. And it's going to be a really fun coffee hour. If you're not going to Sierra Service Project, stick around after the 10 o'clock for the coffee hour. We also have lots more things coming up the week after that. And I don't want to read them all out to you, but please pay attention to all of these important announcements. And one that didn't make it in, I don't think, is that we are organizing the next Sacred Ground Circle. There was a meeting about that on Zoom last Sunday. If you want to learn more, Carol Holm will be around after church to talk with you about that. It's going to be some Sunday afternoons moving forward. So please do reach out to Carol to learn more about Sacred Ground, which is a wonderful video-based program to learn about race and racism in our country and in our church. Oh, okay, did we have celebrations or milestones that were sent in? Oh, I can't believe it. We must have had a birthday or an anniversary or something in this group in the last few days. I feel like I've seen things on Facebook, but I don't want to call people out in case I get it wrong. So my brother had a birthday. Behind me. Harriet. We missed Harriet's birthday. Wasn't that a couple of weeks ago? Oh, wonderful. So Harriet had a birthday. If you turn to page 6 in your bulletin, we have the celebrations and milestones prayer. And for everyone who's had a birthday or some other, Anne, did you have something? Next Saturday at 11, did you say? 11 to 1. Okay. So 11 to 1, there's a party next Saturday at Grace Garden at the United Methodist Church. And I don't know exactly, I can't remember now exactly how long we've been partnering with Grace Garden, but that's another thing we can celebrate. So turning to page 6, your celebrations and milestones prayer is one that we say together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We will have two communion stations this morning, just as we have been doing this for some time now. We intinct your host, unless you say you would like bread only, and then you can just get the host with no wine. If you need gluten-free, just let us know. We have that available as well. You can also come forward and cross your arms, which means you don't wish to receive communion at this time, but you're asking for a blessing. And of course, we can bring communion to you. Walk in love, as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Hark, I hear the harps eternal ringing on the farther shore. As I near those swollen roar. Hallelujah, hallelujah.
Please rise. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give God thanks and praise.
It is truly right and good and joyful to give you thanks, all holy God, source of life and fountain of mercy. You have filled us and all creation with your blessing and fed us with your constant love. You have redeemed us in Jesus Christ and knit us into one body. Through your Spirit, you replenish us and call us to fullness of life. Therefore, joining with angels and archangels and with the faithful of every generation, we lift our voices with all creation as we sing. Blessed are you, gracious God, creator of the universe and giver of life. You formed us in your own image and called us to dwell in your infinite love. You gave the world into our care that we might be your faithful stewards and show forth your bountiful grace. But we failed to honor your image in one another and in ourselves. We would not see your goodness in the world around us. And so we violated your creation, abused one another, and rejected your love. Yet you never ceased to care for us and prepared the way of salvation for all people. Through Abraham and Sarah, you called us into covenant with you. You delivered us from slavery, sustained us in the wilderness, and raised up prophets to renew your promise of salvation. Then in the fullness of time, you sent your eternal word, made mortal flesh in Jesus. Born into the human family and dwelling among us, he revealed your glory. Giving himself freely to death on the cross, he triumphed over evil, opening the way of freedom and life. On the night before he died for us, our Savior Jesus Christ took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his friends and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." As supper was ending, he took the cup of wine. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Therefore, we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died. Christ is risen. Christ will come again. Remembering his death and resurrection, we now present to you from your creation this bread and this wine. By your Holy Spirit, may they be for us the body and blood of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Grant that we who share these gifts may be filled with the Holy Spirit and live as Christ's body in the world. Bring us into the everlasting heritage of your daughters and sons, that with Martin and all your saints, past, present, and yet to come, we may praise your name forever and ever. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, To you be honor, glory, and praise forever and ever. Amen. As our Savior Christ has taught us, first in Spanish and then in English, we now pray, Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre, venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día, perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación y líbranos del mal, porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Loving God, we give you thanks for restoring us your image and nourishing us with spiritual food in the sacrament of Christ's body and blood. Now send us forth the people forgiven, healed, renewed, that we may proclaim your love to the world and continue in the risen life of Christ our Savior. Amen. God's blessing be with you, Christ's peace be with you, and the Spirit's outpouring be with you, now and always.
Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
Amen.